What's up, everybody?
This is Gene.
This is Mac.
This is Ava.
This is Black Parents After Nine. So I'm sorry about what we're sipping on tonight. Okay. Again, got my big can, the big one, Natty Daddy.
Natty Daddy.
8% alcohol. You know, it is what it is. It's $1.40 at the liquor store, so it's affordable. So that's why I drink it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sipping on Crown Royal and some iced tea. Some hood iced tea, actually.
It's not hood. He always says that. Anyway, I'm drinking the peach Crown Royal mixed with some tea. Iced tea. Cool. It's very smooth.
So I had a long day. So I get up at like 5:30, leave the house by 6 to get to work by 7, get off work at 4:30. I told you I was coaching baseball this year, right?
Yeah.
So I get home just in time to scoop up my son, take him to the field, and had them kids out there for an hour and a half doing baseball drills, catching, throwing, running from base to base. You know, them kids put me through a workout. I'm trying to tell you. I got off that field because, you know, it's muggy out.
It was hot.
I was drenched. I was soaked.
It was like, decent damn. Weather. It's going to be hot tomorrow. It's going to be in the 90s. It's like 93 degrees tomorrow.
I got as much of a workout as they did.
Dang. And then you was out there busy.
Got put Gene in the car. Got him, you know, got him home, bathed and whatnot. And then here I am. Long day.
I feel you.
We had an all-day meeting today. So we sat in a meeting all day and then came and got the kids. And my mother-in-law was home with my eldest. Mm-hmm. Made dinner. Kids went crazy. And then it was bedtime. And that's where we're at now.
Right.
BPAN. Hashtag BPAN.
Hashtag BPAN if you're listening.
Yeah.
So, last episode, we started talking about the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Mm. How they made, what, $23 million in a week?
$23
million. There are some places that have that sandwich now, because my cousin was telling me when she came up for the weekend.
At Popeye's?
Yeah, that she said for a week or so it was out, but it's been back for a couple. She said I just got one a couple days ago.
Really?
But she lives in a very rural area, so I'm not sure, you know, what's happening with that. But she said, for sure. I said, you need to look it up. It's been sold out across the nation. So you sure you're eating that sandwich? She said, yeah, I am. I don't know. I guess they got it.
What'd she say about it?
She said it was good. I was like, that's great. I said, but I'm not buying it.
Right. But in a Chick-fil-A sandwich?
She didn't say that because she likes Chick-fil-A.
Okay. I'm just curious. Out of sheer curiosity, I'm not going to get it no time soon. I'm not buying that daggone sandwich.
It's nothing about it that appeals to me. I'm very funny about fried chicken sandwiches. 99% of the time, they're nasty as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're at home and you make it, like, you got to eat it real fast. Like, it just came out, and that's the best tasting chicken ever.
Right.
But if it's kind of like fish. When you fry fish, fried fish is good, but if it's not freshly fried, like you're eating it right after it came out, then it's not as good as when it was fresh.
Right.
So for me, I don't want your dried ass chicken sandwich with a little bit of mayonnaise and a pickle, a slice of a pickle. I'm good. It's nothing about it. I wouldn't buy it anyway. Like, I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. I wouldn't buy it anyway.
Right.
So that sandwich makes me sick. The fact that people want to line up and wait in line for this sandwich and spend 7 days for Popeyes and make $23 million. And the only reason why the sandwich sold out is because they don't make, well, a brand new sandwich, they don't make that many sandwiches.
Right.
They weren't ready for the outpouring.
They didn't have the inventory for it.
They didn't have the inventory, period.
They didn't know it was a brand new sandwich. Right. They didn't think it was going to sell like that.
They're going to have that thing overstocked now because they're expecting these people to come back.
And nobody's going to be buying that sandwich like every day. Kind of like they did with Patti LaBelle's pies. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the shit when it came out.
And when people, that black dude started singing that Patti LaBelle pies, that thing flew off the shelf so crazy. Walmart was like, well, Dad, we got to make more shelf space. They were right. considering doing that just for, but it was never designed. I mean, the inventory was never meant to be able to meet that type of demand.
Right.
So when Walmart, remember when we went to Walmart in another state? Mm-hmm. They had them on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the pies, right?
Yes, yeah, the pies. Yeah. Now, this is way we after that whole. We bought a couple pies. We bought a couple of them because they were like, they were like 99 cents or something crazy.
They were crazy.
Was this like after?
This is way after, a year. Okay. A year and a half after.
So actually, this is the second season of it.
This is the second or so third year. So they thought
that probably it was going to be the same master, which people did buy it, but I'm pretty sure it was not on that level.
We were in Maryland. For the family, it's way after that big old phenomenon with Patty's Pies.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened was, one.
I mean, they're okay. I mean,
they're okay.
They're good. Yeah. They're good, but they're not what it ended up happening in the first week or two, whatever, when that guy started singing. I mean, that's the power of social media.
Yeah, it's really making people move up off the couch. Made that sandwich pop. Period. Now, if they could get on that same idea with a lot of other things and you have a bomb song to it,
right?
Do you see how many social media people be posting stuff like McDonald's songs and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they snap, and if they were to actually like push that like they should, they would make so much more money. Mm-hmm. But they're so old school, they're still doing commercials.
Yeah, social media drives a lot, makes a lot of money. You can make some money off social media, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole reason I brought up the whole Popeye's chicken sandwich thing was like the power of the black dollar. Focus that. Look, man, what would happen if black people just said, we're not going to buy Nike products no more?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would happen to Nike? They would tank.
Nike would.
They would dissolve.
Yeah, Nike would have a big problem.
Who's in the line? Lines waiting for the LeBron Jameses and the Jordans and the Kyries.
Nobody but us.
The Kobes.
Nobody but us. We know the release dates of sneakers. We know. Let a Jordan be put even on the mat for 2020.
Oh, they're going to sell.
They're going to sell.
They're going to flop.
Let it be. I mean, we in September 2019. Let Nike talk about they're going to release the black patent leather Jordans on June 2020. You better know, come June 2020, we're going to be lined up in line.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to know it. But, and that's the thing. That's why I say I agree with you. You got to think about how far the black dollar will go if we want to jump out of and be in lines for a chicken sandwich.
Right.
And we don't mind, you know, being in these long lines for a pair of Nikes or chicken sandwiches. No matter how hot it is, and it was hot this summer,
mm-hmm.
people was out there.
Out in the
sun. They needed a taste of that sandwich like tomorrow.
They were sweating out the door waiting for a chicken sandwich.
There were so many hashtags and photos of people going to and talking about the chicken sandwich. It was like nobody had ever tasted a piece of chicken in life.
Piece of chicken on some bread.
That's how fast people were jumping out the Popeye. It was a chicken sandwich. It was a chicken sandwich you could make at home.
Right. So picture if we as black people just buy nothing but black products.
Oh, my God.
Picture that. No. You buy a black-owned shoe instead of Nikes.
Black
or Reeboks.
Products or and services. If we did that to the tune and was in a hurry, with a sense of urgency, like we did with that daggone chicken sandwich at Popeye's?
Mm.
Bro, people be retiring tomorrow.
I think the last time we did something like that was the bus boycotts in 55.
In 55. That's probably true. Wasn't even alive. 1955, for the record.
Yep.
1955?
The bus boycotts. And because, you know, we got tired of sitting in the back of the bus. You know? We weren't getting equal treatment, and people needed to get to work.
Yeah, people had to go to work, period.
But they said, you know what? We're going to boycott these buses, and we're going to teach them a lesson. And what happened? Bus segregation ended. Imagine doing that today. The black dollar today.
Wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen.
I'm just saying in theory. What if it could? I mean, because black people are not going to stop buying Nikes.
No.
They're not.
No. It's ingrained.
But.
It's mandatory. It's default. It's not even a choice no more. That is
what black
people wear. And you got people out here buying Gucci sneakers.
Because Future said it's cool to buy Gucci flip-flops or whatever.
So Nike's at the bottom. Because Nikes don't even cost that much.
Yeah.
Nike is like default. It's not. It used to be where if you bought a $180 pair of Nikes, everybody's looking at you like, dang.
You know what pisses me off about these luxury brands? Like Gucci, Louis, Fendi, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Designer brands, whatever they want to call them.
Whatever. They don't even like your black ass.
No.
But they know you're going to buy it.
Nope. And some of them have actually come out publicly. This brand is not for us.
The urban demographic.
Yeah. Urban demographic, exactly where they put it. They put it in a real nice politically
safe way to say it.
Safe way of saying the phrase of, we don't want y'all wearing this. But, you know, we'll take your money. We'll take your money, though. Right. I mean, even though you got it, we'll take your money. But we don't really want the brand next to your culture.
That's just like when Jay-Z was, what was the champagne that used to be the shit before he came out with Ace of Spades?
That's a shame. I was going to say Ace of Spades, so I would have been wrong either way.
You know, Jay came out with, the Cristal.
Cristal
used to be the champagne to drink.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. If you had a bottle of that.
All the rappers was like, I'm sipping on my Cristal, blah, blah, blah.
If you had a bottle of that in the club, man.
It was
pretty much untouchable.
And the thing is, untouchable. And when they told him, well, we don't even want y'all buying this, he said, you know what? I'm going to come out with my own champagne.
His own. Yeah.
Ace of Spades. Smart.
And that was Black genius. Owned. That was
you
genius.
Gonna buy, if I'm going to buy champagne, which I don't, but if I were, I'd buy some Ace of Spades. Puff Daddy and it's a rock. I'd buy some rock.
But the thing about it is, with the whole Cristal thing, he was fed up. Mm-hmm. He was pissed off. And I'm glad Jay-Z got mad. Because you know what happened? He ended up running off and doing his own thing. And it also took off.
Right.
So he used his influence to get business partners to go ahead and get into an industry where he was like, look, I can do that. I'm not happy with what happened, but guess what? I'm going to turn around and do my own thing. And then, obviously, he did all right with it. Right. You know? But at the end of the day, we all need to get upset like that together.
Exactly. As a collective.
As a collective. And make sure that Black Dollar stays in our community longer. Enough to serve us,
right?
You know, if it goes out of our hands, it's gone.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about it. So, but it's weird, man. We are so accepting of certain things in our neighborhood that others wouldn't even tolerate.
Right. For example, Chinese people support Chinese all day,
all day long.
Nail salons, Chinese restaurants. When you go to these Chinese restaurants, who do you see working in the back?
Chinese people.
Waiting the tables.
None of us. It won't be us.
Chinese nail salon owners, who's doing
the nails? You'll never see Keisha.
Nope.
You'll never see Keisha. She'll even be behind the counter to take your money.
Nope.
That's how deep they are in their own shops.
Right. But Keisha, she's in there getting nails done.
Keisha, yeah. She'll be up in there. On time.
Tell you what, make your appointments
every
week
2 weeks.
Or every two weeks.
Same appointment. Done. Getting the nails done. In but there.
Look, the Chinese respects the Black Dollar. Because they know it's going to get spent.
And, you know, it's really sad because I see a lot of female single moms out there struggling to make men's ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And their hair is dead. Toes done. Eyebrows. Eyelashes. Nails to the T.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how can you afford to do that? That right there is like $200 easy.
She said that money aside because she knew she wanted it
done. But when you're struggling, that just doesn't even make sense to me.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, but it makes the thing about it, the studies have said.
If I'm going to struggle, I'm going to find the best way to do it and the cheapest way I can do it. But it's probably not going to be getting my nails done unless I'm doing them myself.
And I understand people need their creature comforts. They want certain stuff done.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm not saying that it's not extravagant to have everything done.
But you struggle and pay your bills.
Yeah. You should. Yeah. You need to put that stuff to the side if you can't.
How are you struggling to pay your bills when you're doing all that? It's just sad.
Yeah, but it's an image thing. So they feel better when they do it. And there's nothing like, I mean, people are going to pay extreme amounts of money to make themselves feel good, even if it's a moment of time.
Right.
That's just facts. I mean, people don't really value themselves, and when they feel like crap, they do stuff that makes them feel good, even if it's just a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And there's no dollar sign or dollar amount you can put on feeling better when you feel like crap. That's you know true. What I mean? Because you're, so people are going to pay that, you know. Yeah. But the thing about it is you got to be, you got to be able to recognize it. And you got to recognize that it could turn into a habit that can become a cycle and then kind of kill
you. If you can't pay your electric bill, but you can get all that done, you got a problem.
True. Yeah. I mean, but...
And your kids got to look like... And sometimes you'll see it, too. The kids look 100%, like, straight up. Like, they make sure their kids look good, too. Mm-hmm. But you're struggling to pay your bills. If you stop buying on that name brand, you might be able to... pay the bill.
Right.
Yo, Cass got so Gucci belts and stuff.
It's just presenting yeah, same. Yourself to other people. And if you look at the it's richest insane. People, they do not wear those type of clothes.
Right. Like, my son today was talking about, I guess some my son's 7. So, some kid, I guess, is in his class, and he's talking about a Gucci belt. I'm like, what does a 7-year-old need to know about a Gucci belt for? Like,
Gucci belt,
who cares
man.
About yeah. a Gucci fucking belt? I don't know. I've never been that materialistic where I needed to have like luxury brands to show that look at me, I'm the shit. I've never been that way. I mean, I guess you hear it from all these rappers and singers or whatever.
Yeah, I've never been that deep into ever. If it looks good, it looks good. I don't care whose name is on
it. I've never had a belt higher than $30.
If I'm paying more than $40 for a pair of jeans, I'm upset. Like, I'm mad.
Like, oh, matter of fact, I would put it this way. For a belt, I usually get the reversible belts where you can turn them.
Two for one.
Yeah. I get the ones where you can switch it from black to brown, right? Based on what my pant color is.
I got one too.
And
it
still don't be $30.
Hell no. You might.
I just make sure it's my size.
Right.
I'm good to go. So I couldn't imagine paying $100 for a Gucci belt.
You crazy.
There's no way. And you can't flip it over to be reversible?
I saw the price of red bottoms. It was just like, but why?
How much did it cost?
It was retarded.
The Manolo red heels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They was like, the ones I wanted was like clear a thousand.
Ooh.
Yeah. No. What do they call them? Louis.
The Manolo heels, right?
Or Manolo Blahnik or Louis Vuitton.
Oh, the Louboutins.
Yeah, the red bottoms.
I'm talking about some Manolos.
That's back in the day.
Probably wore those till like the 2000s.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago.
I don't even know. Look.
I remember that. The Manolo Blanc or something like that. Something
yeah, that was whatever. Late in the
mm. See, you know.
But it sounds luxurious, though.
Sounds fancy.
So it makes you already kind of sold.
The thing is, though I could have afforded it, uh-huh. I wouldn't have bought it because I just felt no purpose in it. It was like, for what?
Right.
I mean, it wasn't that nice.
I mean, you had to be a fan of the show or whatever.
And if I got a scratch on it, I would be like pissed.
Right.
So
and people would be pissed.
See, well, I think what I want to do is I think I just want to start supporting black businesses all the way around. You know, they got black businesses that make laundry detergent, toothbrushes.
Yeah.
You know, so.
There's an app out there, too.
There is an app. Or, I don't know about an app, but a website, for sure. I think it's Black Wall Street or something.
Yeah. Yep. Shows you listings of all type of categories.
There's another one. What's blackdollarstore.com. I saw that on Instagram. Mm-hmm. They got a couple sneakers on there that look all right. Mm-hmm. I might buy a pair of those. Whenever I buy a pair of shoes again, I don't know if the kids always get shoes, but I ain't buying no shoes.
I do. I'm not gonna front. I'm not even gonna lie. I do buy shoes. I haven't bought it for myself in a while because I have 3 kids, and so when I buy shoes for them, I'm buying 3 pair of shoes already. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, damn, I'm not gonna buy myself a pair of shoes. But if I'm not buying them anything, and I'm getting my shoes, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I like buying shoes. Mm-hmm. I like buying clothes.
Right.
I like purchasing like really nice outfits. That's just a female thing about me, or maybe something about my personality. But I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I find happiness. Mm-hmm. In it.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
But I like to coordinate.
Who doesn't like buying new stuff every so often? You know, I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, but I just don't go crazy.
You when you go on, you talking about Louis, Gucci, Fendi, Prada, all that, man. You,
man, they don't even like
you. You don't even like. They don't even like you. So, and you're
going to spend your money, your hard-earned
money, where you can put it somewhere that's going to work for you. So the thing about it is, you just gotta,
or at least find like a black clothing brand or something. That's like back in the 90s when FUBU was out. Like I thought that was a dope thing.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I couldn't afford it, you know, but.
You want to know something crazy? I've never heard of a Chinese restaurant having a discrimination lawsuit against them. No. Ever. Ever. You know why? Because they unify front. And even if they had that type of thing, and I'm sure they've had their problems, they keep that under wraps. When it comes to work, they out there. They get it done.
Right, we're going to take a short interlude, and we'll be right back. All right, y'all, we're back. But another example of the Chinese respecting the black dollar.
Yeah.
Hair stores. Because you know.
Did you watch the movie?
I didn't see it yet, but I'm going to. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, you got
to. It's a good hair, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Good hair. Y'all got to check it out.
It's a good documentary.
Because you know, you need to get you some weave or a wig or hair product or something. Black people be in them stores buying all the inventory.
I do it for convenience, but I would buy it for my own if they had the selection. If there was a black owned business, just like there is a large hair store like I go to,
yeah.
I would support my own people quickly. I wouldn't even go back.
And that's the thing.
If they had the selection.
If they had the selection.
Right. But if you were to open that one, you would be limited
to the selection.
And
because the Chinese got on lock.
They have variety.
They know that industry thrives because of the black female dollar. Period.
Purely. There's nothing but black people in them hair stores.
And they taking it to heart. I came in there a couple days ago with my real hair out. Right. And you know what it looks like. So I don't give a damn. I'm proud of my heritage and I'm proud of my hair. And I had my hair blown out and I went out there and the girl like the smack was like, ah, it's not my name. No, it was an issue. Like, I'm like, I know how to wear a wig cap. I'm 36 years old. I'm not like a little kid coming in here. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, I said, I need a cap so I can try on wigs. And she's like, do you want a cap to purchase? Like, if you might not buy one. I said, no, I want to buy the cap. I'll buy the cap anyway, but I want to get a cap for the wig. So I go, she's like, are you going to braid your hair? Does it look like I'm getting ready to braid my hair and I just came in the store? I said, no, it's not an option, no. Mm-hmm. I'm braiding my hair. She was like, well, your hair has to be flat. I got you. It will be when I put the cap on.
Right.
So she was like, okay, because it's, yeah, okay, listen, man.
Listen, Linda.
You are die-harding for this wig.
Right.
Like, I got this. I'm not going to mess up somebody else's property.
Mm-hmm.
But good Lord, do you see what I'm saying?
Right. You're going in there to buy a wig anyway. Yes. Right?
So I'm not here to play. I'm telling you, I'm being assertive. I'm letting you know exactly why I'm here.
I came here for the wig cap and the wig. I want to try the thing on.
I've been going here for almost 10 years. However long they've been there, I've been there. Before them, I was at a different one. It was a little smaller, a lot smaller. It was because it was convenience. It was close to home. But I go to the one further away now because that's a larger selection.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole fact that I'm like, our people, she's one of us. Because in the hair stores, you'll have a lot of black females.
Right.
Working in there. That's the place you will find us working. And they will die hard for that hair store. And it's just like, they're complacent
Chinese.
With us being there, but not being side by side with them.
Right.
That's tough.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that's really tough.
Because they're locking out, black female hair stores?
Yes. They don't give them the distribution.
Yeah. They don't give them the channel necessary to operate a profitable business.
Or
be able to, not profitable, I'll say competitive business. Because you gotta have a lot of hairstyles, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a lot of different color wigs, A lot of selection.
Different color hair.
Different color hair, products, all the escrow stuff. Braids, all that stuff.
You gotta conditioner, have shampoo.
Everything to support people, black people's hair. Grease. Which is
not perms, as products perm come kits. From overseas.
Yeah, exactly.
Come from China.
Come from China. Yeah.
So who are they going to give all that stuff to? Their Chinese family over here who have these hair stores.
It's really outrageous to me.
And they've gotten so deep into the industry to a point where they can lock people out. So if they don't want you, they don't want to go ahead and allow you to buy some of their product, they'll just block you out.
Right. And it was funny because I never realized why I saw so many Chinese hair stores, never any black-owned hair stores, being that we buy the most hair stuff.
And that is the reason.
Because the Chinese will lock you out.
They lock you out.
Because when you think one black person would have thought about the idea of having one black female would have thought about having a hair shop, hundreds of thousands probably. But at the same time, you got to have distribution that's willing to work with you.
Right. And if you ain't got the distribution, you're not getting no products, you're not selling nothing.
It's not a profitable business. So it's really sad. And, you know, I don't know. It's really sad.
Like I was saying before, like, let's say if we wanted to boycott Nike, right? Message would be sent loud and clear if athletes, celebrities, if they all said no more Nike. Nike will crumble. And the thing is, Nike was smart when they came up with that Colin Kaepernick ad because they got to support black people.
They have to.
These black athletes and all these celebrities who wear their products, they have to support black people.
They cannot function without that. The biggest thing about us,
we're brand loyalists and we die hard
about stuff. And we start to attach an emotion to that real fast, to a point where we can't get away from it. We gotta go ahead and buy another fresh pair of Air Ones.
Mm-hmm. But listen, so what I was saying was that even it's the same ideology as men repping their hoods to death, and it's the projects that are not owned by you. You are living underneath the squabble of someone else.
You're repping some block that you own nothing.
That don't give a damn about you. Has no feeling. I would like to rep something that has some type of emotional or physical attachment to me.
Right.
I'm not repping something that I don't even own.
True. Yeah.
That would be like me repping my last apartment complex. That's like, I'm not repping my apartment complex.
Right. That's them.
What has it done for me?
That's why it hurt me when Nipsey Hussle got killed, because he owned like a whole plaza.
He was trying to.
He had like a whole shopping plaza.
One touched individual. One touched individual just took all that away.
And you know what's the thing about it is, I don't think the guy that shot and killed him was touched. I think, really honestly, in our culture, we respect when somebody does that.
Guess what?
You have haters, man.
When okay, so correct me wrong. The story went where the guy was called a snitch.
But he was, but they shook hands Nipsey before they left. No, so you're getting part of the story, but yes. Okay. But they shook hands before they left, before he was getting ready to walk away, if I'm not mistaken. They shook hands. So it wasn't like he said it, but it was also the mere fact that I think that was brought up. It was that ugly demon that comes into people. So his girlfriend runs up to Nips and asks to take a selfie with him. Now, he's an aspiring rapper as well. Okay. And your girl just ran away from you to another nigga to take a selfie. So that spewed hatred. And then, yes, the snitch comment also. He heard about him possibly being snitched. That got to him, too. But it was that green... I devil
the hatred.
Well, I think
from his own hood. Apparently,
yes, he was supposed to be meeting up with him. He had just gotten out to give him clothes or something.
But you know, Ava, here's how I look at it too. That might have been a combination with that. But you understand too, if this guy was really hustling, the worst word you could ever hear in the hood is the word snitch. You can't be. That's the worst, isn't it? That is the worst. Because guess what? He's hustling. He's probably doing. If he's doing everything illegal, and you just put around the hood that he's a snitch, then nobody will do.
Out of jail.
But so he's got out of jail. See, he probably was doing something where he was hustling.
He might have been an informant.
He could have been an informant.
Maybe he just told the truth.
And maybe Nipsey was right. He was a snitch, but he couldn't let that get out there because guess what? That kills all his business. How are you going to make money if everybody leaves him a snitch? Nobody going to deal with drugs with him. Nobody. You don't know what he got going on. Illegal. So if you get around that label around the hood that you're a snitch and you really were a snitch, everything stops for you.
Right.
You can't hustle nothing. What you going to hustle? People think you're going to tell on them. So they're not going to do no business with you.
Yeah.
So it was probably bigger than just the whole jealousy thing, or it could have been a combination of both. But either way, you can't call him out in front of his own hood because that's his character. That's what he reps.
That's not justification. I mean, it is justification.
No, but that's in the hood.
And justification in that manner. But
I put it this way.
It was real weak at.
I used to be a CL a long time ago. And let me tell you something. You could not be labeled a snitch. That is the worst you could be called. You could be called anything on the sun. But snitch is not one of them. Whether you're in the hood or whether you're in behind bars or in the hood. Because guess what? You don't eat no more. Everybody stopped messing with you. You're done.
You're a pariah.
You're a pariah. You're like a disease now. I get around you, I get infected. And then all your friends is gone. Because guess what? They can't be around no snitch.
They can't
because they'll be associated with a snitch too.
Right.
Why are you hanging around with a snitch? All your business is going to be around. I mean, that's from a black male standpoint in the hood. Like, he was in the real hood, not the fake hood, like the real hood. Now, a female could get away with that. That's not suicide for them. A female, if a female called another female a snitch, okay, you call me a snitch. They can still eat tomorrow because it's not that deep for them.
Depending on where they live.
Now, in the hood, they still won't be respected because they snitched, but at the same time, a black male who has no job and all he does is hustle to be labeled a snitch tomorrow, that means I might not eat no more. Right. Cause nobody gonna mess with me like that no more. Everything go away.
I didn't hear about the whole snitch comment.
I heard about it.
But yeah, I mean, if that is what the whole altercation was about, then I guess I'm not saying that. Now, no one deserves to get murdered.
Nobody deserves to get murdered. But in the hood, I mean, this is not, it's not against the rule. Somebody roll back up on you, you got to be ready. And I'm not saying that Nipsey couldn't have been even more readier. I'm not saying that. But you can't, if the story really is indeed that the man was called a snitch and he came back, they're going to shoot him back. In the hood, when you call somebody a snitch, you literally took probably his whole livelihood. Because if he's a real nigga, what we call, quote unquote,
what we call
a real nigga.
Right.
Hood nigga.
You can't be labeled a snitch.
You can't be labeled a snitch.
Period.
It's not an option. It's just not an option.
It's not.
You don't even want to be associated with nobody. That's a snitch. And even then 50 said it wasn't a snitch about snitch. Remember 50 disowned, whatchamacallit, he disowned 6ix9ine.
Yeah,
50 Cent just did that today.
Yeah, everyone backed off 6ix9ine.
She said, when you do, they said you like father and son. Well, yeah. He was like, no. He's like, when you do some shit like that, you your mother's son. Right? You better call your mother. He said, don't call men.
And 50 is on tape repping the heck out of 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
As if he bore 6ix9ine.
He's really supporting 6ix9ine.
Not a 6ix9ine.
Snitch.
Not a 6ix9ine. Your snitch. Sure. He backed off. Disowned him right on air. Said, no, that's his mother's son. I'm not his father.
I don't want nothing to do with that.
So you can't, even if you Hollywood or commercial like 50 now, you still can't be associated with a snitch. Mm-mm. That's how deep this stuff goes.
Who want to go buy a snitch?
Right.
You want to tell everything?
I was telling somebody about that. Like, Tekashi 6ix9ine, he can't make no more music.
He's done.
Well,
done.
He was warned,
but
though.
But then 50 said he probably could make his own music. He said he probably could come back out because, you know.
Who gonna buy it?
He said, but listen, you got to think, it's really not tied to that. He said it's tied to the kids that will buy it. They're not living street lives. Most of them aren't living street lives. So they don't grow up with the street ties and the whole snitching thing. So they might not even conceive it how we conceive it. They might not even conceive it that way because they're not growing up. The people that he was really affecting aren't growing up in the hood. So they would never understand that mentality. They know it's just for show.
My whole thing about Tekashi 6ix9ine.
So 50 said he may be able to come back out.
He might actually come back out.
We don't
know. See, you know, and that's the funny thing. I know.
Pause. Okay. His whole persona is fake. Yeah, he's a fake gang member.
Well, he was really with a gang, though.
Well, because he was paying him for protection.
Yeah,
himself was not.
He rolled was not on a real one, but he was doing some illegal shit.
And then he rolled on the whole gang.
But he was doing some legal shit with him, and he rolled. And why wouldn't he?
Because he got let's wrapped up
it,
in the life.
Let's keep it 100, so. Though, Boog. Let's keep it 100. Who ain't snitching? Ask me if are you gonna snitch?
I'm not no criminal.
Exactly. Neither is he. Mm-hmm. So that's what 50 said. What was some of these people saying that doing his exact predicament? Like on some real shit. Tekashi was doing some stupid shit.
He was.
Like you was. You, why was he was selling Fat at Joe his own concerts?
Fat Joe told him.
He was selling the shit at his own concerts. That's why he was making such a grip. Right. Motherfucker, you doing dumb shit. So yeah, I'm snitching.
And the thing is, like, yeah, when you hit time, when you they trying to slap 30 years on you. And if you go, if you, you give up a couple names, and you might just do 5, people think real hard.
See, that's why I don't run in them circles.
Exactly.
Because guess what?
That's what I told you.
All types of shit flying out of my mouth.
That's what I told you.
I'm not going behind bars for 3 years.
I ain't no criminal.
No.
I can't be in the drug game.
I'm not no criminal.
I can't be in the drug game. I can't be a criminal. Can't be doing falsifying nothing. If I see a quarter on the ground, I'm going to keep walking. I saw somebody's cell phone in the store earlier when we went to the gas station. I saw the phone, went straight up to the front, said, can you put this in the back? Somebody left their phone. I'm not with the other stuff because I know what it is to work hard for everything that you got.
Facts.
So I'm not going to take from somebody else that might be struggling. Fuck out of here. I would never. I'm not about to fraudulent shit.
Mac can't take that walk. So I don't even walk that walk. So that's why I don't even associate myself with that because I wouldn't be able to uphold them, you know, snitching and all this dumb rules. So why even go down that lane?
I mean, the only way possible I can think for you to not snitch is if it's a close, like, you gotta be your brother or sister or something like that. Like, something so close.
Yeah.
And I'd be too.
But besides that, I'm not going into that type of lifestyle to even, you know, have that represented.
I'm not saying snitching is cool.
I'm not doing dirty.
I understand why some might, because when you get slapped with life.
Nah, nigga. I'd be like, listen, what we got to talk about here? I know a little bit about a lot.
Look at Frank Lucas. He's a drug kingpin. Mm-hmm. Drug kingpin.
Snitch.
King.
He's giving up names left and right.
Oh, he gave up. Boy, they showed him that time. They said, look, we about to hit you in the head. He just started routing all types of names out. So fast, they couldn't even write down the names fast enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen,
they couldn't write down the names fast
enough. I'm not going to... See, that's the difference. I think that has to do with the caliber of person as well. Mm-hmm. Because I'm also not going to perpetuate myself as a person that I am not.
Right.
So you're not even going to think that I'm not... Bullshit. Nobody that knows me thinks I'm going to fucking shoot somebody. Because, nigga, I'm not shooting nobody.
Right. I ain't about that life.
I'm not grabbing for no guns, no cop. I'm not doing none of that dumb shit. You hear that dumb shit, you better know.
Look, I got 2 kids. You gonna have me behind bars for 30 years for some dumb shit?
Ain't nothing cool about that.
At all.
Mm-mm. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. That's why I don't live that life.
Not about it.
I'm not knocking nobody, but it's a tough life to live.
For real. And I'm saying that, like, 6ix9ine should be out, like, sometime this year. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So you're gonna have to go into witness protection.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get his face tattoos removed, all that. He's not doing no more music. I'm trying to tell you, he's done.
No, I think in Tekashi's, you know, I'm gonna say, Gene, I'm gonna say this. I think for white hip hop fans, it's not gonna be a problem for Tekashi. Mm-hmm. But I do think that he might have to change his image a little bit.
To what?
To don't know. More pop. Then rap, and I think he could come back.
Well, he's gonna be a pop artist. He's not gonna be no hip hop artist.
No, you're right. You're right.
He don't
right.
do pop. He does rap.
Yeah, right. He does rap. But I think he can make if he wanted to really do it.
Hip hop culture says no snitching.
Facts. But I think with these new 1990s babies and 2000 plus babies, that don't mean nothing to them. That's something that they heard about when Tupac was alive, and they weren't even alive. When Tupac died in 1996. So they don't know.
Right.
They don't know what they don't know. You can literally actually be born in 1999 and be 22 years old.
And listen, Trump don't like snitches either.
18.
Trump don't like snitches either. Remember what he said about that one, the lawyer?
Oh, yeah, he like, you gotta be loyal, even around dirty Trump.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen, he said he don't like snitches. What was the word? He didn't say snitches, he said
something else, I forgot. It was some damn, it was a white people's word. But it was basically the same, it was like
same a concept. Same concept, but it was like, it was something crazy. Like,
I don't like something. Didn't he say like, I don't like people who don't, who something. Oh my God, we got to figure it out. But anyway.
But yeah, it was something crazy. And it was the same
way. Did he just say snitching? He pretty much just said, he don't like when people snitch. So.
Or you know, those business people on his echelon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they're doing all kinds of dirty, corrupt stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're part of that game.
Yeah.
You can't go telling.
And these don't get aired out, though. Them elite 1%.
Same reason why Trump won't release his taxes.
Yeah.
That'll never happen. Because that'll tell you exactly what he's doing, exactly who his money's going through.
Yeah.
He don't want to release that shit.
Yeah. And don't think that he ain't threatening anybody who has the authority to release some taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think they ain't been threatened. Oh, you let this go through and they see my taxes? Your whole family, forget about it. Trump is that dirty. He really is. You can't put nothing past him. It might be on an Italian mob type level. He's gonna get that job done. I'm telling you, I guarantee you, we will not see them daggone taxes.
Look at
he might do 8 years and we still won't see it.
Look at Jeff Epstein.
Oh yeah,
he had to go.
He had to go.
Yeah. Not even saying that Trump had anything to do with his apparent suicide, quote unquote.
Right.
But he ran in circles with all kinds of billionaires and millionaires.
And political figures, top political.
Are you going to think that elite. He wasn't telling anybody to shorten his jail time?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Washington elite. That man was literally.
The Clintons.
Allegedly.
You see how that one came out with that weird behind infomercial.
Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey. He was spilling the tea on Pizzagate and everything else. He was like, if I go down, I'm taking down. All y'all niggas with me. Yep. That motherfucker's case was gone. He don't even have a civil case
no more. So just for reference, we're talking about the little video, YouTube video that Kevin Spacey put together that was really very strange to a lot of folk. But, you know, we at BPAN looked at it
a little deeper. #BPAN.
#BPAN.
Black Parents After 9.
We did realize that the Epstein case definitely was related to the Kevin Spacey trial.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're referencing here. But with that said, Pizzagate was talked about.
If you don't know what Pizzagate is, Google it.
Google that. Pizzagate, definitely Google that. And it was really about code and sex trafficking.
And pedophile ring.
Pedophile ring. Period, with elite people. We'll just put it out
there. Very powerful people.
Very powerful, alleged people. Alleged powerful people.
Right.
So anyway, long story short, so we can protect BPAN here because we ain't trying to die. Yeah, pretty much.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. with that said, there was some relation there. And the major news outlets tried to deny Pizzagate, said it was not just a farce. It was some...
Trying to make a joke of it.
Trying to make jokes of it, trying to put it under the rug. But come on. I mean, you start having emails where we're talking about two pepperoni this and really weird emails in about a professional environment.
Pizza.
Yeah. Hot chocolate. You want chocolate
young
pizza? Who eats chocolate pizza?
No one.
Nobody talks about that during an email in a workspace. So those, you know, weird emails were released to the public, but they kind of dismissed it in the mainstream media. Anyway, long story short, come 2019, you got the Epstein gets locked up. He's killed in jail somehow without the cameras working.
Suicide,
allegedly. Whatever. Mm. We don't even believe that. But anyway.
Right. Nobody believes that. No one believes he killed himself.
He's killed himself. Mm-hmm. And
the whole thing just smells of conspiracy.
Smells of conspiracy. And me as a ex-correctional officer, I know that them cameras would have been working during that time, and he was already on suicide watch, and that's already a very specific, high-profile case. Nobody's going to blow that case at a correctional facility. So I know that's BS. And then Kevin Spacey makes that weird, actually before this all happened, Kevin Spacey makes that really weird video. If you really listen to what he said, he was basically trying to let people know, the elite people, know that I better get off of this case.
You can do your own research.
Do your own research, please. Basically, he was pretty much letting people know, don't do me dirty.
Don't snitch on me.
Don't snitch on me. You know.
Because I know where the bodies are buried.
And as you guys know, as your research, please do your research and get your own interpretation. But guess what? Kevin Spacey walked out. His witness, who had pictures, text messages, and all this proof.
Wouldn't let go of his cell phone no more.
Mm-hmm.
Then pleaded the fifth on the stand. And the, guess what? The witness turns over. The whole case is done.
You know the whole Jeff Epstein case is closed, right?
Yep.
It's sealed.
It's closed, yeah.
Yeah.
No more investigation.
Closed, no more investigation. What? How is that? How does that happen if all the Washington elite were involved? Not all, but a lot, allegedly.
Involved. So he had ties to the royal family.
Oh, yeah. Ties in every type of way.
Millionaires, billionaires. He had his own island.
Mm-hmm.
Do your own research.
They had to have a flight plan.
They had a flight plan. They had a flight log. The only reason why we even know who actually was involved, allegedly, with these top elitist Washington high-profile people is because of the flight logs, which is a federal mandated thing you have to. When you get on the
You gotta have flight, a manifest.
You have a manifest, right. And Gene can speak more to this because he's in that industry. But with that said, you cannot get on a plane in America and not be listed on a flight log or some type of way. You gotta list the amount of passengers and all that. So you have to do that.
If that plane goes down.
If the plane goes down, we don't know who's in it. It's either the pilot knows and then everybody else on the plane knows, but nobody knows who would have died in that plane. So it has to be done. So with that said, Epstein had small private planes going to on an airport on small islands, which had allegedly very super young people or natives. And they did what Epstein wanted. So with that said, I mean, you could fill in the blanks yourself. But, you know, Epstein didn't just go to jail and die for nothing.
Right.
He didn't commit suicide. I think we can all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Something funky happened with it. Because how do campers... These are high... Matter of fact, I'm sorry. I got to go back. So these cameras in jail are some of the best in the industry.
High def. They see everything.
They're meant to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These are not no cameras you find in Best Buy.
Right.
These are very professional cameras. And they're built for a correctional setting. They're built to be spit on, water thrown at, feces thrown at, and still work because that's what happens in jail. So they're not no cheaply wired cameras without a really good install on them. So the fact that these cameras went out at the perfect time.
Right.
Okay.
Super fishy.
And then when you're on watch, no matter where you're at in America, it's on roughly about every 15-minute checks. Q15, which means every 15 minutes, this person who's on suicide watch on a high profile case is being checked like crazy.
How are you going to be on a suicide watch and commit suicide?
Yeah, and typically when something like that happens, they are overstaffed just for that one person. They're overstaffed. Like the whole jail could be short.
Except for
Mr. Epstein.
He's a high profile person.
You can't mess that up. You mess that case up, it looks bad for that institutional facility. It looks bad for that warden. So you can't fuck that case up. Because you fuck up the trial.
Right.
If Epstein, for example, I'll give you an example.
And those girls did not get their justice.
They did not get their justice. The reason why I can talk to you like this is because we had a high profile case when I was at a correctional facility. And I found out just how important it is to make sure that inmate or whoever high profile person does not get beat up, threatened, touched. Their mail is checked with a fine tooth comb to make sure they're not receiving anything. It's insane the protocols they go through to make sure that this person is not harmed and make sure that they survive the case.
Right.
Because if they can't go to court in the morning from that correctional facility and be transported safely, that's a big deal to a correctional facility. Mm-hmm. The public really don't understand that. But there's a lot of thought into how that person is going to be put into the court that day.
Right.
protected. Before they even do the trial, pick the jury and all that stuff like that, they're already like, oh, who's coming? We need to know everything about him. Is he a risk for suicide? Is he in a gang? Is he this? Is he liable to take flight?
Right.
Does he have enough money to pay somebody outside of jail to come in and take a visit and then be a threat to jail? Like that? So that's why I don't understand how something like that falls through the cracks and Epstein ends up killing themselves. It's hard to even kill yourself
right.
in jail.
Well, you see what happened with that young dude, right? He was a veteran or whatnot. He was a paratrooper in the army. And he died in jail. He turned himself in on a DUI case. And he ended up dying within a few days. Being in jail. And they said that he bust his head on the wall. And then they said that due to possible methamphetamines, it made him go into an episode or something, the coroner was saying. So they didn't deemed it medical the way that he died. But his throat, his brain, and his heart are missing.
Wow.
So, first of all, they try to say that they took those organs for forensic use to find out what?
Come on now.
You didn't take the gut? Mm. You didn't take the liver? Anything where it might be processed?
Right.
And liver or gut? Anything? But you took his throat. So the family is investigating. They did their own, they had somebody do their own autopsy, and he deemed it a homicide.
Right.
There's no way.
There's no way.
The man wasn't mentally ill, nothing. He turned himself in. They took them organs, honey. Like they doing all the missing black kids.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to say that. Was it 2-3 years ago? Like, was it 50?
No, it's still going on. You're saying it like it's done.
Yeah.
They're still going
but it was finally in the news. Like,
yeah, it finally got to the news, but it's still going on. Like there's thousands and even, of and even black just like missing.
Yeah. So y'all, I don't know. I'm pretty sure y'all heard this on the news maybe 2-3 years ago. There was like 50 young black girls just getting snatched up off the street, missing, never found again. So, what does that tell y'all? To me, they're harvesting organs.
Mm-hmm. Organs, sex trafficking, yeah. Harvesting organs. They're snatching them.
And the thing is, it didn't even make, like, the major news. It wasn't on CNN or, like, Fox or MSNBC. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you had to go, like, on, like, social media. Yeah. And then when there was a real outcry, that's when it finally made the news.
I go really hard about family and, you know, making sure you protect. These type of subjects.
As a father, period, not even black father, but a father, period, I mean, you should protect your family. Yeah.
Because these people, they are snatching the organs of these vulnerable, at-risk teens. They're teens because they're young. They're not snatching the organs from a 40, 50-year-old, 60-year-old.
Right. Because the organs are pretty well used by them.
They're pretty well used. They're very healthy. They have no disease to them. From a medical standpoint, my medical antennas go off. And it makes me think, oh, so look at the age range in which they're getting them. Very healthy, viable organs from teenagers or preteens.
Right.
So where do you go to go get that? Well, guess what?
Especially when organs are in short supply.
And it's your short supply, but then you have rich people out there who are not Hollywood type, and they have a family member that needs a healthy organ. And they want to get it cheaper on the black market. They know they got a better shot at getting the organs of a teenage. The biggest thing about it is the most extensive issues with it is the fact that they're at risk because they live with single parents.
Mm-hmm.
You either
disenfranchised, out on the street doing whatever.
They walking from school.
Mm-hmm.
They might be walking to an empty home. Because maybe mom ain't made a home. Maybe she working 2 or 3 jobs. And then you got these people. They're watching you outside, man. People be walking their dogs, fake walking their dogs. And they sitting there watching your same team walk every day to school.
Yep.
Same routine.
Plotting on you.
Why not? They hunting on you. If every day in America, whether you're on the East Coast, West Coast, every day there's a yellow school bus dropping off a kid. Period. on the same consistent time every day.
Right.
Not hard to really get that. Hey, if you really want to get something from that person and you see something valuable or you're knowledgeable in that area and you need to get something off of them and you want to sell it, because you know they don't got nobody to protect them. There's no home for them to go to.
Right.
Listen, that's why my son has a GPS watch. At any time somebody snatch him, I have his GPS.
Right.
And, don't play with me. And
you never know.
It's sad, but I think, you know, obviously BPAN, hashtag BPAN, bad parents out there, y'all got to really be careful. You know, just like Ava said, you know, get them a little watch or something, GPS on there where they can make a phone call, whatever, invest in it. Because you got to understand, if you're black, you have probably the most, and maybe there's research out there, we have really good organs.
Mm-hmm.
That's facts.
Ain't right.
We perform well from a physical standpoint. There's a reason behind that. We don't look at it as valuable, but others who don't have what we have.
Right.
I do.
That
do.
It looks valuable.
Just look at the movie Get Out.
Look at the movie Get Out, too. I mean, there's movies out there that kind of set the tone, but they don't say it all. They don't spell it all the way out. But, I mean, we could talk about the one little boy that was rolled up in a mat.
And
the
gym.
What was his name?
I can't remember his name.
Yo, and they still couldn't find him. Right. This nigga was stuffed full of newspaper. And you mean to tell me this wasn't a homicide?
Right. They tried to claim it was a suicide?
Yeah.
Something like that. Come on, man. Stupid.
How you roll yourself up in a wrestling mat?
You can't.
How you stuff yourself with newspaper?
You can't.
That makes me so scared to have my son out there by himself.
You can't. So that means you got some hunters out there running around in the block market for organs. So, you know.
Remember that one guy I told you about? The one who was a mortician. But he was supposed to cremate the remains and stuff. Or he was. No. This one, it was a different one. This was all about the body parts. They found head sewn onto a smaller head sewn onto a body because you get more money for a torso with a head. Mm. They found legs. They found a big jar of penises. They found.
What you gonna do with a jar of penises?
They're gonna sell the penises.
I don't know, bro.
They're gonna sell them penises.
I'm dead.
Somebody want them penises.
I'm dead right now.
Somebody wanted them penises and they wanted them feet.
This world is very.
It's wicked, man.
It's wicked, and then everything is just the opposite. So the people running around with what's valuable, when they don't value themselves, they can become vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing about us is there's so much value with us, we just don't look at it as such. So right. You got people around here just watching.
Like, even my kids, like, their bus stop is literally maybe 20 yards from the house. But we still get either me or my mother-in-law or my wife is out there every day.
Every day.
Watch them get off the school bus.
You got to.
Listen, my son's right in front of our house. We open our door, that's where the bus stops. I made sure of it. Mm-hmm. I called the school. Okay, made sure that bus route was created.
Right.
Because there was no way I was going to send my son all the way down the corner by himself. They wanted him to go down to this other corner, around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Where I can't see him get off, I can't see him get on. No, you come right out here. It's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I see the whole bus route, and I see that there is a possibility for this. And they changed it.
Yep.
Because I didn't feel comfortable with that. Because I had a bus driver drop my son off to the apartments down the street.
Yeah, that's a little walk.
He had to run down here. I was like, what happened? And that's when I bought the GPS watch. And I was like, if somebody tried to drop you off somewhere that you know you're not supposed to go again, you call me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we going to talk.
And the thing about it is, these news outlets, they're so clever. Nobody, even black people know that if somebody's missing and they're black, they're not as valued as somebody white missing, right?
No. Right, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, could you imagine how many stories out there with the, just like that dude when the gym mat wrapped up with his organs, with stuff with newspaper that never really made the news? You think that the first time that ever happened? There's no way.
You remember JonBenet Ramsey?
Oh.
Yeah.
That story.
Remember that Christmas? That was on a Christmas day, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. And she was a little baby model, right?
Yeah.
She was like a little model pageant.
It was Halloween. It happened on, she died on Halloween. Because they came home to eat candy and they all sat down. I've seen the story multiple times.
Oh.
It was Halloween.
My bad.
Mm-hmm. And they have a strong inclination because of some of his reactions and such. Because I've seen his reactions on TV when they're talking about it. And they're not right. They're off, by sure. And so there's a possibility that the brother accidentally killed her and put her in a dryer.
Wow.
But
I think they tried to pin it on the dad or something like that, but he got off.
Well, they tried to pin it on the guy who he actually said that he committed he committed the crime. He gave a confession.
Hmm.
But the dude was off, and his time scale was off when they actually started to investigate it. But there was someone who actually came out and said that he committed the crime. And they talked about how they fed him. He was on the plane. Yeah, it was, like, really weird. The guy was, like, really weird. But he did it, too, because he said I loved her. We had a deep connection. I saw her at school.
Right.
So he did see her before, but he was not the one. Yeah, he was cray-cray. He wasn't even in the vicinity when she died.
Mm. Do y'all's own research. But,
yeah. Do your own research.
Yeah, do your own research. You know, they're going after your kids, so be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Some people, you know, they want to, they think they can do it all, but you can't be everywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're going to co-parent or whatever, do it, but do it and making sure you're actually protecting your kids. And making sure you're showing up everything as where they're going to be at during the day. I mean, because it's capitalism in America, and there's a lot to appreciate of it, but there's also some really bad things about capitalism. And the people that are most vulnerable are us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of scary. It's a scary world when you're the most vulnerable people or type of people in the world.
Right.
So, long story short, don't get caught slipping. This world is crazy. Long story short.
Keep an eye on your kids.
For real.
Keep an eye on your kids. It's important. I don't even let them go to the bathroom by itself. When we're out in the restaurants.
Oh, hell no. Nope. I think there's a story on the news about some black kid going to the bathroom by himself, getting fondled in the bathroom. This is 2-3 years ago. Do your research. I can't remember. I can't remember where.
She got raped in the bathroom. Little black girl.
So
that was this year.
So y'all had y'all's birthday party earlier this week. This past weekend.
Yeah.
And we were getting ready to leave, and my son was like, "I need to use the bathroom." I said, "Well, I guess where are you using the bathroom then?" I guess me and you gonna go together, because I'm Chuck E. Cheese and that. I'm not letting you go out of my sight. You're 7 years old. Who knows who's in the bathroom?
Yeah, and mine wants to go in the male bathroom. He doesn't want to keep going in the female bathroom. Now he's at that age where he's more conscious of himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the people around him. And so he's like, it's not appropriate for me to go in the female bathroom, Mom. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to go in the male bathroom. And, you know, I get it when your dad is present, your dad is there. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But if daddy ain't here at the time, you're going to kick your butt in that stall and you're going to use that bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It ain't. I know that you want to be a man. I know you want to be a little boy, whatever the world you want to be. But not today, son.
Not today.
Nah, I said it. He said, because of the weirdos. I said, yes.
There's too many weirdos out there.
There's a lot of weirdos. Weirdos look like regular people now. Yeah. Weirdos look like regular people, so I tell him, don't trust nobody.
Right. People got all these crazy tastes.
Somebody try to touch you, I don't care what their name is, you tell me. And you get raped with them and let them know. Ain't nothing you can tell me that is going to make me say okay to whatever you talking.
Right. Even at, like every day after school, I always ask them, so what did you do today? What did you learn today?
Yeah, you got to be like
that. Did you get a new friend today?
Right.
Any new friends? I asked them real quick. How about your teachers?
And that's something that I implemented a while ago for my son. But my oldest son. the biggest thing about that is you want to be able to see how your child copes with stress and anger and stuff like that.
Right.
So it gives you, if you're constantly talking to them and you bring in conversation, and this is something that if you're estranged from your father or whatever, or whoever, a father figure or whatever, this is where kids lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not...
Father figures are so
important. Yeah, I tell you what, and it's so funny.
I'm not saying that the moms and, you know, mother figures are not.
Yeah.
But especially for young black men, father figures, even if... let's say your dad's not there.
Yeah.
But even if you have an uncle or somebody that will step in and be a father figure to that child, it's invaluable.
It's invaluable, it is. And it's not something that I really readily understood fully. I mean, I understood it before, but I didn't understand it fully until after I got married and had kids. Because then I saw that there are some gaps that are not going to be filled by just a single parent. Right. You know what I mean? And it's not something that you can just sit there and just tell another black young man, oh, well, you know, maybe you don't want to be close to the mother, have a relationship with them, but you do that. You do know that A, B, and C are going to be at risk.
Right.
If they don't have that type of father figure. Mm-hmm. You know that they're not going to receive this by just having a single mother lead them all the way through their teens, young adulthood as a male.
They need a male example.
They need that male example. Although, you know, females do a ton. They bear the children. They rear them, nurture them, breastfeed them.
Much respect to moms. There's
a long list of things that they do. Much more than fathers. I definitely will admit that. But there is a difference, because I know that, like, my son, he's very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start implementing the talking to him on a day-to-day basis about school and what he experienced each day.
Right.
Because he kind of made me nervous, because he's so emotional that he might make mistakes behind his emotion and didn't think about what he did after it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll be dangerous enough to do something out of sheer emotion and then turn around and be like, oh my God, I did that, but that was a mistake. I was, just was angry. So I had to figure out how does he cope with stress?
Right.
And he's a big friend person. Like, he'll walk up to you and be like, let's play. And if you say no, it hurts his feelings.
Right.
He's genuinely hurt by that. He wants to hear you say yes, and then y'all run off and play. And in fact, we had a big issue when he was probably like 5 or 6, where he did what his dad told him to do. You don't just grab people by the arm and then tell him, let's go play. Because that's what he was doing.
Right.
That's how much love he has in his heart. I told him to, no, you go walk up to him and ask him, do you want to play with your toy?
Right.
Well, he did what daddy said. So he walks up to the kid and says that. The kid said no.
Crushed him.
He just looked like, he looked like a soda can before his crust, and then now somebody, and then,
right,
just like, he just crushed it like that, and he just deflated, but he did what his dad told him to. But, you know, I didn't tell him, well, you gotta watch out for now and do A, B, and C after that.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't comprehend that. He's too young.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He got learning on his own. You know what I'm saying? And then he eventually went and played on his own, but at the same time, I noticed that he gets really hurt by people when they reject him. So him being rejected, he might go on a course of just being out of control because he feels rejected. And trauma can come in a lot of ways when you're that young.
You gotta teach him. I teach my son how to cope now, because I work with adults who never got that coping.
But the hardest thing about it, Ava, too, is that you gotta first, as a parent, you gotta learn your child too.
Yes, you do.
So now I gotta
learn a personality.
Right? How do you do that? You got to talk to him.
Spend time with him.
Exactly. And you got to do all that. So me just learning about my son, we can go ahead and just learn about his strengths and his weaknesses. And then if we know his strengths and weaknesses, then we can go ahead and then
explore better ways. Baseline. Right.
So, I mean, things like, you might have a son.
Because your kids are always evolving.
Like, always.
Like, my son, like, he comes home saying new stuff, like, every other day.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, where did you hear this from? Like, I'm assuming it's from the other kids in school.
Right.
But, you know, like, he watches different cartoons, and, like, he's adopted this little annoying ass laugh. Right. So, I mean, they're always evolving, they're always changing, just like people always do.
Right, and they'll evolve some more and change some more, especially when they hit their teens.
Right.
Like, he, like, right now, my son, he might, right now, he's like an emotional, blah, blah, blah. But in his teenage years, he might don't care no more.
Right.
He might exhibit an attitude of, I don't care what nobody says. And then that's going to be another problem. See, then we got to adjust that. Now you got to be a little bit more caring, you know what I'm saying, considerate. So there's another adjustment there. Now I got to teach them to be a. So you never know. But the only way you know is.
They don't tell you this before you become a parent.
No. And it's so important.
Oh,
and
my God.
It's so important.
No one warned me.
I knew nothing about this.
Nobody.
It was just like, hold on. No. Why are you acting like that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What's your problem? You should let me know in the scheme. Yeah. Let me know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I wish I knew. There, parenting is so hard sometimes. It is. Very because hard. It's like you only get one chance.
Right.
One opportunity.
You get one crack.
One thing you can do can mess them. And then when they're able to understand, one thing that you do to them could stay with them for the rest of their life and hurt them.
Yeah.
Every time they look back at that situation.
True.
Who wants to have that type of responsibility on their back? That's so tough every day.
Right.
Even when he does the craziest, stupidest, dumbest things in the world, I can't say, you know, you just did the dumbest, stupidest.
Right.
I have to say.
Because then they're going to look at him like,
I'm dumb. I'm stupid.
Yeah. That was one of my son's problems. Exactly. Nobody told him he was dumb or stupid. And he was like, I'm just dumb and stupid. No. First of all, we don't even develop that type of talk in my house. Yeah. Like, period.
Yeah.
We don't self-hate.
Yeah. Ava hopped right on that. And self-hate the thing about, is not you have to hop on that.
Period.
Right. And but the only way to hop on something like that is you got to be there already.
Yeah.
So
they have to have that build a trust in you already.
Could you imagine if you're in a single parent home and you're working all the time, 2-3 jobs, and then our son says, well, you know what? I'm just stupid and dumb. And he ends up repeating that over and over again. Yeah. And nobody stops him. It becomes a mantra. Nobody stopped him when he kept saying that over and over again. And then guess what? Mm-hmm. He then made his thoughts a reality.
Right.
He didn't never want to try nothing no more because he thought he was stupid and dumb.
All right, y'all. Sorry about the abrupt ending. But we've been recording way too long. But we do have some gold on here. So I hope y'all paid attention to a lot of things that we said. And hashtag BPAN. We are Black Parents After 9. Hope y'all enjoyed this episode and tune in for the next one. This is Gene.
This is Mac.
This is Ava.
We are Black Parents After 9.
Signing off.
Signing off.